16, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 3. Good God, there is a spirit of deliverance in this house, I'm telling you. And that there's a spirit of deliverance, like this is it. That word about this is the time, this is the hour of action. That's the word. I mean, it confirms everything I've been feeling the last week, confirms what I was feeling this morning, confirms exactly what I'm about to preach about. That this is the time. This is the time of breakthrough, of where we're supposed to travail and push through whatever it is that is holding us back. When you get 2 Kings chapter 19, say amen. 2 Kings 19, verse 1. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went to the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth to Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. I want to read that verse again. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. I want to preach to you a message simply entitled, Pick Up or Delivery. Pick up or delivery. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, right now, we recognize your presence and your spirit being in this place. And God, we position our hearts, God, to receive that which you have commanded unto us, O God, the word of deliverance. Lord, I don't know who this is for, who it is that you're desiring to bring out. But all those that are in bondage and in captivity, we command their release in the name of Jesus. We command liberty in this place for the full manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit to flow. Not only just one, but God, the full spectrum of your power and your presence being operating in the church. And even now today, may the spirit of conviction, above all, may the spirit of conviction draw your people, draw sinners even unto repentance. Oh God, let my sermon, oh God, not be just with enticing words and man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God, that all may know that you are God, and beside you there is none else, that there is none likened unto you, none can compare to who you are. Even now we pray, let there be demonstration. Confirm your word with signs and wonders following. Don't confirm me, but confirm your word, that people might know that you are the Lord and that you are still God in the heavens and in the earth. We right now release your spirit and your power in this place, and we thank you in advance, God, for what you're going to do. We give you praise and glory, and in Jesus' name, let the church living God say amen. You may be seated. I will do my best to be brief. I know I say that all the time, that doesn't seem to happen, but I do try at least. I want to talk to you today about deliverance. That really, like I said, that's been the word that's in my spirit this whole week, is the word of deliverance. I chose the title of the message, Pick Up or Delivery, because that's a phrase that we're fairly common with, that whenever we order or call into a restaurant, one of the first questions they ask you when you're about to place your order is this pickup or delivery? And what they mean is that, are you coming here to get the food when it's ready? Or two, do we have to send someone out to deliver the food to you, or deliver this particular package or whatever it is that you need, deliver it to you or bring it to you, to your location? And in the same sense, that is exactly what the Spirit of God is saying spiritually, that there's pickup or there is delivery. I want to talk to you about different types of deliverance. Number one, there is the pickup or carry out deliverance. And the fact of the matter is that whenever we're going to pick up, let's say, an order that we've placed with a restaurant, that we come at a particular time when the order is ready. And God is trying to say to you today that I have prepared, I have made ready the thing that you've been seeking for and the deliverance that you need today. That it's all ready, it's prepared, it's right there. You just need to come now, as she has already prophesied that now is the time, now is the season for you to come and pick up your order. You've been praying, you've been seeking God for answers, you've been looking to God for some sort of direction or some sort of victory or breakthrough in your circumstance, and God is saying your order is now ready. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, meaning that when Jesus Christ uttered the words, "It is finished," that everything that we need for life and for godliness and to succeed in our walk with God had been prepared. The psalmist said in Psalm 23:5, that thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies, that God has prepared something for you. You just need to take the action to go and pick it up. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. You just need to go and possess the land. You've been wandering in the wilderness for years and years, waiting for a breakthrough, waiting for deliverance. And God is saying that now is the time. Your order is ready. It's hot and good to go. You just need to get out of your seat and start walking in faith and start stepping towards the promises that God has for you. God says in his word that the promises of God are both in him, yea and amen. That when God says that the order is ready, you can sure enough take it to the bank that it's ready to pick up. You just need to get yourself in the position to receive. Deliverance is in the house, but are you ready to come and get it? Are you ready to come and to get it? The Bible talks about in 2 Samuel 5:7, David, he had just been anointed as king over Israel, and his enemies had heard that he had now assumed this particular position. And when they heard that he had now walked into his calling, the thing that he had been anointed to do some 13, 14 years earlier, after running from Saul like a dog and hiding in the caves, he finally found his place that he was supposed to be. And the enemies of Israel came and they arrayed themselves against David. The Bible says, but when the Philistines heard, 2 Samuel 5:17, but when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" David was asking, "Is the order ready for me to pick it up?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore he called the name of the place Baal Perazim, and there they left their images, and David and his men burned them there. Baal Perazim literally means Lord of the breakthrough. That God was saying, David was saying, is the deliverance ready? Is the order ready? Is the victory ready? And God said, "Surely I will deliver them into your hands." Stop letting the enemy intimidate you, that you think that this is a problem, when actually it's a setup for your blessing, for you to walk in the calling and the anointing that God has in your life, for you to walk in the promises that God has over your life. God has anointed you. God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, that you would show forth the praise of him. But you cannot get scared and stay in your cave and stay in your hold. No, if you want this deliverance, you've got to get out of your seat and start walking by faith. Even if the haters gonna hate, even if they try to sabotage you, even when they rip you and make fun of you, even when they isolate you and mock you, you've got to step out in faith, Peter, and start walking on the waters, because God has one word for you, and that word is come. Come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden. Come, you that need rest and you that need victory. Come and walk upon my word. Come and pick it up. The order is ready. That's a pickup deliverance. Requires some effort, might require some fasting and some prayer, might require some studying and memorization of scripture, might require some tearing and travailing in the spirit, might require some praying in tongues, might require some going out in the wilderness and fighting with your adversary. But whatever it takes, I'm going to go and get my order. I'm going to get what God is coming for me. And God has righteousness. God is peace. God is love. God is joy. God
God has forgiveness. God has mercy. God has all that you need. For the writer of Psalms says that thou wilt show me the path of life. Psalm 16 and 11. For hallelujah, the Bible said, but you will, that in you is the fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Everything that you need, you've already got it right there. You just need to pick it up. Then there's the second type of deliverance, which is what I like to call the bring me out deliverance. And what I mean by that is that you're not going to pick up something that God has ready for you, but you're in some stuff right there that you need to get out of. That all around you is enemies, and there doesn't seem to be any way of escape. There doesn't seem to be any solution, any resolution to the problem. But then look at God showing up and making a way out of no way. The Bible says in Psalm 107 verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gather them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Doesn't matter how far in whether direction you go. God's arm is not slack. His promises, his arm is not short. His promises are not slack. It reaches to the lowest valley. It reaches even to the highest mountain. That God can bring you out of any circumstance or situation. The psalmist goes on to say, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. In Psalm 30 verse 2, it says, oh Lord, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. That God heard my desperate cry. I don't need a God that loves me when everything is going right, or whenever I'm so righteous and I'm praying enough. I need a God to come and meet me when I'm in the wilderness. I need a God that comes to meet me when my marriage is failing. I need a God to come and meet me when bills are stacking up and I've lost my job. I need a God to come and meet me when the doctor report says you only got 3 months to live because of cancer. I want to tell you today that you serve a God that can bring you out, that can bring you out of any mess, that can bring you out of any situation. You just need to trust in God and trust in his word. And that's why the word of the living God says in Psalm 107 verse 20 that he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. All it takes is one word from God to cause the storms of life to stop, to cause the wind to stop blowing, to cause the waves to stop crashing. One word from God can change your situation. You just need to allow me to speak in your life and get yourself ready to receive what thus says the Lord. Psalm 91 verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. When you put God first and stop looking at all the distractions, stop looking at all the haters, your help doesn't come from the government. Your help doesn't come from a spouse or from a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Your help does not come from your pedigree or your education. Your help does not come from your job. Your help comes from the Lord. When you set your love on Jesus, looking under Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of my faith, looking under Jesus, who is my strength and my fortress, looking under Jesus, who is my defense and my strong tower, my shield, my glory, and the lifter up of my head, looking unto Jesus, the righteous redeemer, the rescuer, the king of glory, the Lord strong and mighty in battle, looking unto Jesus, that solid rock on which I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. You've got to look on Jesus, and when you look on Jesus, Jesus says, I will deliver you. Jesus said, I'll bring you out. He says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Praise God. Hallelujah. We serve a God of deliverance. A God that wants to bring you out. And don't get me wrong, I know I've been talking about finances and jobs and sickness and disease. But the greatest deliverance is when he brings you out of sin. The greatest deliverance is when all my sins are washed away. when God called me out of the darkness and into his marvelous light, and I saw the grace of God. I saw the crimson stream of blood flowing from Calvary when he brought me out into true liberty. He brought me out into true freedom, free from my past, freedom from condemnation and judgment, free from the effects of the enemy, the attacks and the accusations of the enemy. When I finally saw him in all of his glory, I realized that he's greater than any sin that I've ever committed. Hallelujah. Praise God. You look through the scripture and you see biblical examples of God delivering people. Really, that's what the whole Bible is. The whole Bible is just a bunch of accounts and stories and tales of how he got people out of some crazy mess. Stuff that doesn't make any sense. Like, how on earth did you get in there? You ever see like a photo of a news report and like, you know, the car somehow on the telephone pole? And you're like, how did you do that? How did they do that? Like, that seems physically impossible. How did you get yourself in a mess like that? And that's what happens in the Bible. These guys get into messes in situations that seem absolutely ridiculous. Like, how on earth could you screw this up this bad? But look at God, despite how bad the mess is. Despite how dirty it is, God is not intimidated by your mess. So, no, I'm not touching this. This is too nasty for me to deal with. But God humbled himself and became man to deal with our mess. Praise God that he's a deliverer, that he'll bring you out. He'll bring you out. You just look at Noah. Noah's surrounded by evil all around him. The Bible says that the imaginations of man was wicked even from his youth, that all of flesh had become corrupt and wicked. The enemies were all around him. But look at God. God had him build an ark, and God put Noah and his family in the ark, and he destroyed all the enemies of God, and he delivered Noah out of that unrighteous situation. You look at Abraham, that he was living amongst the Babylonians, living with pagans and heathens, and God called him out of that situation to be a father of many nations. You look at Lot, who was living in Sodom and Gomorrah amongst a perverse sexual immorality, amongst much a filthiness of the flesh and wickedness. And God brought him out and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. You look at Joseph, that was sold into slavery, that was put into prison, was put to the lowest position that he could possibly sink to. And God, in a single moment, he made him go from a prisoner even to the second most powerful person in the land. Don't tell me that God cannot deliver. Then you look at Moses. Moses' name literally means drawn from the water, because he himself was rescued. When Pharaoh tried to kill all the children of Israel, hallelujah, that Moses' mother put him in the water, and the very daughter of Pharaoh drew him out of the water, and he was delivered from that destruction. And through the deliverance of that destruction, Moses became a deliverer for the children of Israel. And look at God bringing the children of Israel out of slavery and bondage. I'm telling you, go from scripture after scripture, God is a deliverer. And he's bringing people out. Want to get back to my main text here. Praise God. Back in 2 Kings, we'll look at chapter 18. I need to give some background. Now, in the story of Hezekiah that we read initially at the beginning of the message, Hezekiah has just received some devastating news. The news is so terrifying and horrendous that the Bible says that he cried and that he rent his clothes. He ripped his clothes to shreds in horror at the news he has just received and the situation that he's confronting. I want to give some context regarding the situation that he's confronting. What has happened here is that the king of Assyria has begun to invade the lands of Israel and Judah. Israel has already been taken over, and now he's coming to Judah, where Hezekiah is king in Jerusalem. And the thing is that when the king of Assyria first invaded, Hezekiah got scared, and he wanted to pacify him. He said, look, I'll pay you whatever it is, just please. You know, don't come and invade my land. So the king of Assyria said, fine, I'll leave you alone, but I want 11 tons of silver, and I want one ton of gold. And that was such a high price that Hezekiah had to even strip the gold off of the temple of God, off the doors, and take some of the silver from the temple to just even pay off the fee. But you know, the devil is never satisfied with just that. You give him an inch, he'll give you a mile. Not shortly afterwards, the king came and invaded anyway and besieged the city of Jerusalem and was saying that we're going to destroy you. And that's what we find here in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse number 28, that the king of Assyria has sent a messenger to tell him what's going on and that he needed to surrender his city because there's no possible way. There is no way on this earth that he's going to be able to defeat this army, this invading army that's coming in. 2 Kings 18, verse 28, this is his servant speaking, his messenger. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Look at verse 33. Verse 33 says, the messenger is still speaking. He says, hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? He's saying, look, the king of Assyria has conquered many lands, conquered many nations. All of them had their gods and had their deities, and they called upon their gods to rescue them, and none of their gods could beat us. Look at all these gods that we've conquered, all these nations that we conquered. He starts to list them here in verse 34. He says, where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim and Hena and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of mine hand? He's like, look, your God's no different from all these other gods that we faced, all these other countries that we've conquered. We've beat them all. We've conquered them all. And yours is no different, so just surrender. And when Hezekiah heard that news, he was devastated and scared. Now, what I find very interesting here in this story is that the king of Syria, who's the one who is speaking this message by his messenger, his name was Sennacherib. Sennacherib literally means sin. He was the god of sin, a moon god in particular. But that's what his name is. His name is Sin. Sin was speaking by this particular messenger, was Rabshakeh, which means chief or prince or cupbearer. Sin was boasting against Hezekiah, saying that we've surrounded you, that we've got you. Now, to give you an understanding of why Hezekiah was freaking out, the king of Assyria had brought 185,000 soldiers to surround that city. The king of Assyria was so confident that he could easily take Jerusalem. It's just trying to give Hezekiah a break. He's like, look, we'll even give you 2,000 horses if you can find enough men to even sit on them to fight against us. That's how confident the king of Assyria was in regards to this. Now, what I find very interesting in this text, that Hezekiah's name means the strength of the Lord. Sin was boasting against the strength of the Lord. And in this text, what I think is also interesting is that the strength of the Lord began to cry and to weep in distress. Have you ever gotten news so bad that you couldn't even stand up straight? Didn't even know how to process it? Well, I'm a child of God. I know the word. I'm a son of God. I'm the head, not the tail. And all of a sudden, you only got 3 months to live. Suddenly, you ain't so cocky anymore. You get a report from the IRS that you owe $12,000. Suddenly all those two steps aren't there anymore. Some of that dance, that Holy Ghost shuffle ain't there anymore. The strength of the Lord was failing. He was in distress at the boast of sin. If there's anything that will really take the wind out of your sails is when sin comes to rise against you. When memories of your past and the things that you used to do starts coming against you. Friends that you used to kick it with start, hey man, I remember what you used to be. I remember what you really are. Quit playing this Christian phony business. On your job, sitting at your computer and something, the devil just brings a memory or brings a thought to your head. Or maybe you're dealing with a sin right now. You're dealing with an addiction right now, and you're coming to the house of God trying to praise him and trying to worship him. He's just reminded what you did last night or what you messed up this week on. Suddenly your hands start to tremble. There's not much strength in that hand anymore. Sin was boasting against the strength of the Lord. Mm-mm-mm. And that's what the Bible says that sin does. We find here in... Actually, I didn't tell you the full name of the king of Assyria. The full name it means sin multiplied brothers or sins many brothers. Bramble of destruction. That it's not just sin, it's sin multiplied. It's exceeding sin. It's an abundant sin. Overwhelming
like a flood type sin, Hurricane Harvey type sin. That's what it's really talking about. Psalm 94 verse 3 says, Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. Sin boasting over me, saying that God will never love you. God will never forgive you. You can't be saved. There's no possible way that you can give up that addiction or give up that relationship or give up whatever it is that's keeping you back from having a real relationship with God and being saved. Sin boasted against the strength of the Lord. I want to look now at my scripture text now that we have that background here. In Psalm 19:1, and it came to pass when King Hezekiah, strength of the Lord, heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went to the house of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 3:1, Lord, how have they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help. No help for him. Nothing. The army's not coming. Superman ain't coming. Nobody's coming. Psalms 18:4 expresses this further. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. Surrounded, the strength of the Lord starts to fade. That hallelujah that was in your throat starts to weaken and tremble. So when Hezekiah, the strength of God, became weak, he needed to get some help. But where did he get it from? He sent some messengers. 2 Kings 19, verse 2. It says, and he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos. Eliakim, this is what makes me happy. The two guys that he sent, the first guy he sent was named Eliakim. Eliakim means the resurrection of God. When your strength begins to fail, all you need to do to look for proof of that you have power is look to the resurrection of God. Two. Actually, let me read this verse first about the resurrection of God. When your strength is failing, when everything else, like there's no way I can get out of this, you look at one of the greatest miracles in Scripture, that the resurrection. The Bible says in Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. My strength is failing. My strength is faltering. I'm becoming fatigued and weary. But when I look at the power that was released when that stone was rolled away and demons in hell began to tremble as Christ triumphantly came with the keys of death, hell, and the grave, I'm reminded that maybe I'm not so weak anymore. My strength was empowered by the power of the resurrection. Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now this is what really makes me shout. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. If the death of Christ saved me from sin, how much more so shall the resurrection of Christ keep me from sin and cause me to overcome the sin that I'm fighting? When our strength in the Lord begins to wane and weaken, we look back to the resurrection, and it's the reality. And its reality is released through faith. The second messenger that Hezekiah sent was named Shebna. It literally means who rests himself. Who rests himself. So, okay, the strength of the Lord is fading in me. I'm getting weary and well doing. Things are going wrong. Everything's falling apart. So then I look to the resurrection. But it's not enough just to look to the resurrection. You've got to believe and rest in the resurrection. And that's why he was coupled with rest. Who rests himself. Hebrews 4:2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest.
as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. The Bible says that the devils believe that there's a God and they tremble. People believe that there is a God, but do you believe wholeheartedly in the resurrection power of Christ? That if I should die, that the skin worms may eat up my flesh, but one day I shall see him with my own eyes. When that trumpet blows and the eastern sky cracks and the clouds part and my Savior comes and says, come up here, that the power of the resurrection of Jesus is greater than any power that I might face. And that's why the Bible says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. So the Son of the Lord sent the power of the resurrection of God and the rest that comes through faith and believing in that resurrection. Hezekiah's messenger arrived to the prophet Isaiah because it was from him that they would find the solution to the enemy that they were facing. Hezekiah knew that if, hey, the man of God has the answer. And the man of God that he sent messengers to was named Isaiah. And Isaiah literally means salvation of the Lord. Salvation of the Lord. So the strength of God that was failing got faith in the power of the resurrection of God. And it arrived at the salvation of the Lord. I want to tell you something. If you really want to experience deliverance, have faith in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings, and then you'll meet what we call salvation. Deliverance from the bondages of sin. And that's why the Bible says in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. That word in the Hebrew for salvation is Yeshua. It literally is the Hebrew word for Jesus. So when David was writing this, he said, the Lord is my light and my Yeshua. That my Yeshua, my Jesus, illuminates the darkness that I'm walking in. My Yeshua rescues me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. My Yeshua, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. In this will I be confident, that when your strength fails and you put faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you arrive at a state of being we call salvation. Salvation from sin, salvation from bondage, salvation from anxiety attacks, salvation from fear and depression, salvation from Prozac and pain medication, salvation, it's all in him. The fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him bodily. Everything that you need is in the salvation of the Lord. So you know what Isaiah said, what salvation said back to the king of sin. Oh, man, it's pretty funny. Because now paraphrase here for the sake of time. But basically he said, who are you stepping to me? He's like, because you said that, I'm really going to get you for this now. Like, one, you're not even going to come in this city. Not an arrow's going to be launched in this city. Not only that, but I'm going to have you go back home because of a rumor. And I'm going to have you, I'm also going to have you get executed by your own children. And a matter of fact, what actually happened that night, as another message came, a letter from the king of Assyria to Hezekiah, trying to tell him, hey, we're going to come get you. He prayed to God, and that night, the Bible says that he sent an angel of the Lord into the camp and killed all 185,000 soldiers. All 185,000 soldiers. But I want to give you what the application of that is. What Isaiah prophesied, what salvation said in response to the king of sin. Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That when my sin came, grace did much more abound. That when evil was around me and I was in the very entrenchment of all the devil's henchmen, that salvation boasted louder and greater and rescued me from the king of sin. James 2:13 says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. That mercy outshouted the accusations that the devil was making at me. Outshouted, outperformed, outwitted, defeated, beated, trampled down every accusation of the enemy against me. Yeah, I was guilty. Yeah, I should go to hell. But mercy rejoices against judgment. Mm-mm-mm. You need to allow the salvation of God to start speaking inside of your situation. That the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, but all things have become new. Romans 8:1, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, them that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Allow the salvation of Christ to say so. Oh, let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. You that have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I got to wrap this up. Put too much stuff in here. Okay. Now, as I said before, when your strength is failing, when you've come to the end of yourself trying to fix your problems, and you finally start turning to the resurrection of Christ and believing in that resurrection, and you arrive at salvation, what occurs is an experience we like to call the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost has all the different types of deliverance in it. The baptism of the Holy Ghost has the pickup deliverance, the one when you come and get it. In Luke 11:13, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I want to let you know, you don't have to tarry and have to wait. You don't have to send an order on Amazon and wait 3 days for the package to arrive. The Holy Ghost is here. You just need to pick it up and believe in it. The Holy Ghost is also that bring me out deliverance, in that it calls me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isaiah 59:19 says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. That when the devil's trying to get me, the Holy Ghost drew me out of sin, called me, compelled me into relationship and intimacy with him. But there's a third deliverance I haven't talked about yet. And I'm going to try and close with this last thought. The third deliverance I like to call, it's the come out of me deliverance. So we got the pick me up, go and get it. We got the bring me out. I'm stuck in bring me out. But we have the come out of me deliverance. What's that? I mean, there's something inside of me that need to come out that I need to deliver. There's a praise on the inside that I need to deliver. There's a ministry on the inside I need to deliver. Don't you know that you're pregnant with God's blessing inside of you? If you've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, there is something inside of you that needs to come out and show the world that Jesus still saves. The Bible says, now look at this. Now I want to go to 2 Kings 19:3. Back to my scripture text. This is the messengers of Hezekiah still speaking here. 2 Kings 19, verse 3. And listen to him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there's not strength to bring forth. And that is the predicament we find ourselves here today, is that there is something on the inside that God wants to come out of you. But the thing is, do you have the strength to bring it forth? Is there enough energy in you to push and to go after God to deliver what is inside of you? Now remember, I said that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is also a come out of me deliverance. Like a baby that a woman needs to deliver, there, as I said before, a deliverance. There's a blessing, there's a ministry, a destiny, a purpose, a plan, a praise, a word on the inside of us that needs to come out. In John 4:13, when Jesus was talking to the woman by the well in Samaria, he said this regarding the Holy Spirit. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up out of me into everlasting life. In John 7:38, it said that he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That when the Holy Ghost gets inside of you and God delivers you out after you picked up the Holy Ghost, or you caught the Holy Ghost, that there just comes something on the inside of you that begins to flow out of you. We call that eternal life. We call that the living waters. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors and sets the captive free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Holy Ghost is inside of me to flow and to drench and to drown the enemy that tried to attack me. I've got the Holy Ghost inside of me that I can drink whenever I'm thirsty, and it feeds me whenever I'm hungry. You just need to let it come out and push. Push it out. Seek God with all that you have. It's inside of you. When the Holy Ghost comes in, when you come and you believe on him, that's a pick-me-up deliverance. He comes inside, he brings you out of sin and out of darkness. That's a come bring me out deliverance. But then there's that come out of me deliverance. God wants to deliver today. So what will it be? Pick up or delivery? What will it be? What will it be? I tell you today that the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is in this place right now to heal and to set free and to deliver. Deliverance has been the word. Travail is the next component to it, that we need to start going after God and allow the word of God that God has deposited inside of our hearts this day and believe on Jesus Christ as truly Savior and Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to flow out of our lives and to quench the thirst of those that are thirsty and quench the hunger of those that are hungry. Whatever you need, it's found in Jesus Christ. It's found in the Holy Ghost. Let's stand today. I gotta quit. Praise God. Pick up or delivery. What will it be? Don't allow the king of Assyria, don't allow sin to boast. Don't allow his boast to weaken the strength of the Lord. Your strength comes from the salvation of the Lord. That's why David said in Psalm 51:12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me thy free spirit, my joy. And the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Your strength comes from knowing that once I was lost, but now I'm found. That once I was blind, but now I see. That I don't have to smoke anymore. I don't have to get high anymore for me to live or survive. I've got something on the inside of me that sustains me through every situation. Deliverance is here. Deliverance is here. The most important deliverance, as I said earlier, is the delivery from sin. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to minister to those that need deliverance from other stuff. But I want to get those that need delivery from sin. Deliverance from the things of this world. Your strength has been failing. You tried crack, it didn't do anything for you. You tried to find it in a husband or in a relationship, it didn't do anything for you. Tried to find it in education, that didn't help you out either. You studied the greatest scientists and philosophers and all the quantum physicists and didn't answer all your questions. You're still left there scratching your head, wondering what on earth is going on with my life. Why do I even find any purpose in my life? You tried everything else. Now I offer you to try Jesus. Ding, the order's ready. Order up. One of the greatest sounds to ever hear is when that microwave goes off and it's like, beep, like, ah. Oh. It's ready. You worked a long day. You come home. You don't have time to cook. You put something in the microwave. You warm some leftovers. Also hear that ding. You're like, ah, it's time. Yes, sir. It's time. The heaven's bells, heaven's microwave is here. He wants to heat up your life with the Holy Ghost and fire. But you got to come and pick it up. You got to jump in the oven. Jump on the potter's wheel. Allow him to shape you and burn some things out of you. Consume some things out of you. The Bible calls, man, I got to stop preaching. God calls him God is called a consuming fire. Your order's ready. If you don't know Jesus the way that I've been talking about, know him as a savior. Know him as a deliverer. Know him as a lover of my soul. Mm-mm-mm. Know him as a rescuer. Know him as a forgiver and a redeemer. If you don't know him like that, I offer you this opportunity to receive him today. That's the greatest deliverance. I only want people that want this thing I'm talking about. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Repenting from your sins. You know, if you're ever out of town and you, let's say you're at a hotel and you order something to pick up from a restaurant. But you don't know where the restaurant is. You're trying to go pick it up, and you got your GPS on, you make a round turn, and the GPS says, turn around, you're going the wrong way to get your order. That's what Jesus is saying. Turn around. That's called repentance. I gotta quit. I could go on all this all day. It's called repentance. God's asked you to turn around. Turn around. Your order is this way. What you're looking for is over here. It's at the cross. It's at the rugged cross where Christ died. That's what where it is. I offer you this opportunity to come and to receive Christ. Come and receive him. Come and find rest. Your strength has been failing. Time to take faith and place it in the resurrection of Christ and find salvation. Don't allow sin and guilt to have its dominion over you any longer. Jesus Christ is king, but you've got to allow him to be king. Allow him to rescue you. Allow him to deliver you. I won't take much longer than open up the altars, brothers. Praise God. All right? Now, if you need deliverance from someone else, that can be anything. I don't care what it is. Because it's all in him. He's got it. You need deliverance from, you know, financial trouble. You need deliverance from bad choices. People don't want to talk about that. You just want us to ta-ta-ta over your head, but you don't want to change your mind on anything. I mean, I pray with you. But also, I need to give you a few Bible studies, too. Just tell it like it is. You want real deliverance, you got to put some work in it. You got to push that baby out. And I could go on this all day. Come on now. You need deliverance. Sickness in your body, you need deliverance. Healing is here. Come pick it up. God will bring you out of that cancer. Hallelujah. And then healing power flow to you. God can use you to start healing someone else with cancer or someone else with some other disease. Pick up or deliver it. Take your choice. Offer you this opportunity. Maybe it's from demonic oppression. Devil's messing with your mind. Can't even get your mind straight. Have no peace in your spirit. God's got deliverance here today. Come over here and pick it up. The order's ready. Thou preparest a table in the presence of mine enemies. North Korea got nuclear weapons trained on me. I'm going to sit at the table and start eating what God has prepared for me. Hallelujah. This is your moment right now. I want to take a moment just here, just for a moment here. Because a lot of the things that, you know, deliverance, it comes through faith. And faith is seeing. I know the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. I get that. But what it's really trying to say is that you're seeing what the Word of God is saying on the subject instead of seeing with your natural eyes. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to picture the thing you need deliverance from. Whatever it is. Could be an addiction. Could be whatever it is. Picture that. And as you're picturing that, I want to make a statement to the rest of the audience. Those of you that don't need deliverance, you know what every good woman that's in labor needs is a midwife. One of the reasons, I'll tell you what's really making me mad, what really inspired this message was I'm tired of people getting baptized and not getting the Holy Ghost and leaving the church. The devil has aborted our babies far too long. And we need some midwives to help some people get delivered. We need some midwives to stand up against Pharaoh that's trying to kill all of our children and go in the labor room and labor with some people so that they can get healed, so that they can get saved. Where are my midwives at? Where are my midwives at? Come down to these people that are right now seeking deliverance. They're seeing the deliverance in their minds. Where are my midwives at? You don't need pastor or me to lay hands on you. We just need midwives. We need people that just have the same Holy Ghost I got. To just finally start coming out, stepping out in faith. Find someone that's down this altar and lay your hands on them. We're about to have some delivery right here. Delivery service, deliverance is not a pretty thing. When a woman's in labor, it ain't pretty, but it's necessary. And when the delivery is over, there's more joy than there is sorrow. Right now, find somebody at this altar, midwives. Where you at? Find somebody at this altar. We're going to have a delivery service. Those of you down here that need prayer, keep picturing that victory. Keep picturing that victory, that solution. And as you're picturing that solution, I want you to praise God for it being done. That's called faith. And faith releases the power of the resurrection of God, which leads unto salvation. Faith releases the power of God to produce miracles.